It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We continue our study today about the purpose of the local church. Well, last time we looked at the fact that God has placed the local church here on this earth. He has sanctioned the local church to do certain things during this time that you and I live in. He sanctioned and he has told the people in that local church that they are for a certain purpose, and the pastor is there to feed the flock. Now, I'm talking about local churches. Well, that's what a local church is for. It's to train, to teach, to indoctrinate, to teach thoroughly the Word of God to the saints. Now, if you remember, the last time in John chapter 21, we read in verses 15 through 17, where Jesus said, and he asked Peter certain things. And this is what Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, this is Peter speaking back to the Lord now, he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. When 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, it says this, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. The pastor is to preach the whole counsel of God. And as we've seen, the pastor is to preach, and as he preaches through the Word of God and leaves nothing out, the saints will be edified. That people will get saved if the pastor is preaching the Word of God, teaching the saints, and also preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's all intermingled there in the Word of God. Well, the prime goal of the local church is to the saint of God. So that person who knows Jesus Christ as Savior, the member of the body of Christ, can be strengthened and encouraged and ready to do what God has for him or her to do. Once again, I'm not opposed to the gospel message going forth in the regular services of a local church. And once again, I certainly rejoice over every sinner who is willing to accept Jesus Christ in a local church during a church service. Well, the problem comes when evangelism becomes the main focus and the believers do not get the spiritual nourishment that they need to be effective servants and soul winners for Christ throughout the week. Well, the goal of the local church, this is the saved people, should be Christ-like. This is what people need to be, is Christ-like. In other words, the goal of the local church is that saved people might be Christ-like, and as salvation is just a first step, we often miss the mark. We often miss that as we look at someone's life. We often miss the fact that that person, we criticize a person because they're not growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and one of the reasons they're not growing could be they're not a member of a local church, and maybe they're not a member of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church, or maybe they're not in the Word of God. When Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, it says this, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Well, that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It's talking about maturing unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The verses go on to say, and verse 14 says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Well, we should be grieved when God's people are undernourished, spiritually sick, and ineffective witnesses for Christ. A church that is faithfully teaching the Bible from Genesis to Revelation will not neglect the lost who come through the doors. So the unsaved are not neglected either. Well, once again, we can't blame someone else for our lack of maturity. We need to step up. We need to take responsibility to learn and study the Word of God. And I'm speaking to saved people. We need to be in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. The first way you do, you need to understand that the first way we do that and the first step is to ask Jesus to save us, to come into our hearts. Well, the Bible says that you, and I'm speaking to an unsaved person right now, you as an unsaved person are not going to receive the things of God in the sense that a saved person does. You're not going to understand completely the Word of God until you get saved. And then when you get saved, the Bible says that we can understand the Spirit and the things of God because the things of God are spiritually discerned. Now, the saved person is certainly not going to learn everything there is to know about the Bible, about God, but that person will grow spiritually. The Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth according to the Word of God. Well, if you don't understand the Word of God, I'm speaking of basic things here, even the basic things. If you don't understand that, maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you've never asked Jesus into your heart. On the other hand, maybe you've done that. Maybe you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, but you're not stepping up and taking advantage of the teaching that God gives you through His Word. Or maybe you're not taking advantage of being in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church that stands on the Word of God, that doesn't teach fables or fairy tales, but one that is teaching, thus saith the Word of God. You say, well, how do I know? Well, you open your Bible and you follow along. If that preacher preaches anything else other than Jesus crucified, buried, and resurrected, teaching and preaching anything else other than the growing up of a saint of God to help that saint of God to grow in the grace and knowledge, if that preacher is not preaching all the truth that you see in the Word of God, you need to get out of there. You need to find a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. They're still around, and you need to open your eyes, your spiritual mind, your spiritual heart, your spiritualness. You need to trust Christ to lead you into all truth. And He also says He will do that. Well, what happens when an unbeliever comes into a soul-building station where believers are being edified and where God's Word is being rightly taught? Well, that's the local church. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 24 through 25 says this, "But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth." If things are done according to the Word of God in a local church, you will see people saved. You will see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced that one of the problems in our world today, and especially in our country, is that the Word of God is not being preached. We're not preaching. We're not leading. We're not teaching the Word of God the way God wants us to do. Once again, that is from the Word. If you're not growing, if the church is stagnant, if the churches are just simply swapping members, the churches are in trouble. The people know the Word of God when they do this, and they don't pay attention. When they really don't pay attention, they're listening to fairy tales. They're not listening to God's Word. But when a church, a group of people who are in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church, when they pay attention, they're not going to listen to the fairy tales. They're going to know the difference between thus saith the Lord and thus saith the world. Now, these people who are interested in growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and wanting to see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So they're not concerned with a big crowd. They're concerned with souls being saved. Now, a pastor should give the people information on how to live. In other words, how to be Christian or Christ-like. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17 says this, that the man of God may be perfect. Well, that means mature once again. And it goes on to say, throughly furnished unto all good works. Once again, the word used here, perfect, means new or fresh. It means to grow up, which most expositors interpret as complete. Of course, complete perfection for the saved person will not be complete until we're with the Lord. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, we don't understand everything, but we know this. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You see, salvation is only the beginning. It is but the first step of a lifelong process of growing to be more like Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter, in verse 18 says, But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The pastor's job is to give the saints the best possible training from the Word of God so that they might be able to minister effectively and represent Christ rightly in the world, bringing others to the Savior. Well, let's look at the responsibility of a local church member now, and this may shock you. The saints are to do the work of the ministry. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, in other words, other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know what they were speaking? They were speaking the plan of salvation, the Word of God. They were telling people how to be saved in their own language. And then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, And they, and that's the people, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. In many churches today, the pastor bears the great bulk of the ministry load along with perhaps a few others, only a few others. That wasn't so in the early church. The great majority of people today are content to sit in the pews, hear a nice message, and perhaps come back the following Sunday. Well, the genesis of the New Testament Christianity was that the saints, the believers, were to be fully equipped and well-trained to go forth every day of the week and do the work of the ministry. Instead of one man or a few people trying to bear the burden, God's intent was to have a whole army of believers going forth, trained and well-equipped to serve the Lord at work, at home, in town, and in local neighborhoods. And whatever they did, they were to serve God and give out the Word of God so that people would be saved. We're not seeing that in our world today. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's good news for you today. He's waiting for you to turn to Him. He's waiting for you. And we use the word repent. That means you are ready to go God's way. You're sorry for your sin, and you want Jesus to save you. You need to pray a prayer and ask God to come into your heart and save you. You're sorry for sin, and you want to see Him personally one day, and you want to serve Him while you're on this earth. Lord, lift me up and
let me stand. You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.